Welcome back to Coffee with Friends. I'm Cooper Short.
And I'm Jeff Johnson.
Today, we're going to be talking to Jeff Johnson about church missions, because believe it or not, he's the first qualified guest we've had. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. Like I said, this is Coffee with Friends. Obviously, if you're looking at this, you know what the title is. Today, we're talking to my missions pastor, former youth pastor at the church I go to at home, Jeff Johnson, about church missions. If this is the first one you're listening to, obviously, Coffee with Friends is an interview special where we talk to various believers about kind of their niche in the church, really. I guess that's kind of what it's all about. So like I said, today, we're talking to Jeff Johnson. So, Jeff, if you would like to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Jeff Johnson. I am 46 years old, almost 47. Yes, Cooper, I'm old.
When's your birthday?
August 7th.
Okay, so we're getting there. Okay, you're close.
We're close. I am from Boca Raton, Florida, born in Fort Lauderdale. So I'm a South Florida guy, and I live here in Big K-Town, Kings Mountain. For the record, I am not sure I'm the most qualified to be here today, but super excited to be on this podcast with you.
Yeah, just kind of like a side note, apart from my family members, naturally, Jeff Johnson might be one of the few day ones I have. I mean, Jeff's pretty much been a fan since Caffeinated Christianity even decided to exist. So when I was talking about doing the interviews and just talking about the podcast in general, Jeff was probably the first person I had that actually requested to be on. So naturally, you know, I had to get him on the podcast eventually. So that's pretty solid. So I told them you're my missions pastor, but could you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. Well, I serve as mission pastor at First Baptist in Kings Mountain. And believe it or not, in a few weeks, I'm celebrating my 20th year anniversary being here at the church.
Really?
So, I was youth pastor for the first almost 15 years of being here, and the last 5 years I've been the mission pastor.
Right. So, kind of, what is, when did that transition happen? Like, when did you go from that to that? I kind of get the dates mixed up. So, you were youth pastor for... Until when? Because I was in 9th grade or 10th grade.
You can edit this out and go back. You want to go back and do testimony first? Things like that?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, that's a good idea. Yeah, do that. Actually, hold on. Let me transition to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeff, give us a short testimony / like call to ministry kind of narrative as to how you got kind of where you are now.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to keep this podcast somewhat short. For me, I've grown up in South Florida. It's crazy to think how far God's brought me, and I really often am just surprised that I'm in this position now, because growing up, I didn't go to church. Parents didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I probably graced the doors of an evangelical church probably twice. All wow. Growing up before I went to college. And so I ended up going to college. I wanted to get out of state. I wanted a kind of fresh start. So I went to college 12 hours away from home, which for me was, you know, I actually enjoyed being that far. Wasn't super close with my parents. And first couple years of college, just did the college thing. Well, it wasn't too big of a partier, but just tried to sort out, figure out life on my own. Like I said, I wasn't a believer, and started my sophomore year, really started searching for truth. Having grown up with a little bit of exposure to the gospel, going to a summer camp a few years when I was younger, would have said that I was a believer in God, but didn't know that God wanted a relationship with me through Christ. And so my sophomore year, I started doing something radical that most college students do. I started going to church. And nobody went with me, just started going to a church thinking, well, the questions of life that I had about purpose and meaning, surely the church has got some answers. So I started going to a pretty solid Methodist church in downtown Greenville. I went to Furman University. Right. Yep, forgot to mention that. Went to Furman University as a sophomore.
Roll Dens.
Yeah, that's right. Go Paladins. And so started my sophomore year, started going to church. And through the course of that year, God did a lot of great things, put believers in my path. I started, I met some friends who were strong believers. One young lady in particular who I later on made my wife, I was able to marry, had a huge part in me coming to Christ. And FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, played a huge role for me in hearing the gospel. And at the start of my junior year, I knew what I needed to do. I had the burden of sin in my life, knew the gospel, understood the gospel. It was clear, knew what Christ had done for me. And the third week of September 1993, a few weeks after I turned 21, I got down on my face before God and in my apartment all by myself, cried out to God and for his forgiveness, receiving his salvation, and God made me a new creation. And from then on, really started just a journey of growing in the Word. Probably within the next year of getting involved in a church, particularly volunteering at a youth group and helping out there. By middle senior year, I knew I was going into ministry. And by then, I felt strongly that God had called me to go into ministry. So that's sort of my testimony in a nutshell.
How did you figure out that it was youth ministry at first?
Well, you know, the older I've become, I've come to realize that God calls you to himself. God may, sometimes I think the call to ministry is a really, it's a challenging thing to decipher, to really to discern what God's really teaching you. So back then, the context that I was in was, I was an Eagle Scout, so I think God had wired me for leadership. I was involved in camp leadership. I loved working with younger people and kids. And so the first context of service that I did in a local church was a student ministry. And so for me, student ministry, I thought, man, this is incredible. I was going to be a teacher and a coach, and God really kind of turned my path a little bit into a different direction. And I really felt strongly that God said, you know, you can really teach young people, but I want you to do it in a different place than you thought. And so for me, student ministry was really the only context. I felt God calling me to ministry, and I thought student ministry was where it was at. And when I surrendered to the call to ministry, I was a lifer. I was going to be that 78-year-old
youth pastor,
bald, that was fat youth pastor.
Still going to Infuge.
Still going to Fuge.
Retires at Infuge.
No doubt. That was me.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, okay, so kind of to start, I guess the bulk of the questions, what's your favorite Bible verse?
Oh, man. Hopefully, the people that know me best would know that my life verse is Galatians 2:20.
That's what I was going to say.
Definitely my favorite verse. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's just one that I think the point in life when I surrendered my life to Christ as a junior in college, as little as I knew about the Bible and life, I knew that God called me to lay it all down. And I knew that the life that Jesus had for me was way better than the life that I was living on my own. So I just love that. I love that scripture.
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually knew you were gonna pick that. That's always been kind of your thing. So what's your educational background?
Kindergarten. No.
Me too. Wow.
Once I graduated elementary school, I moved on to middle school. No, I mentioned I went to Furman,
yep.
So I was a history major at Furman.
That's right. History's a real major, folks.
Woo! Don't know what you're supposed to do with it, but
me neither. But I've got one, so
yep.
we're moving forward.
Yep. So I was a history major. Was going to teach middle school, high school, coach. I love sports, and so I have a master's of arts. And back that up. So I have a undergrad degree in history. With a minor in education. I did everything but student teach at Furman. And then I went on. It took about a year and a half off after college. I was kind of burnt out. Furman was tough. It kicked my tail academically. And so I worked for about 3 semesters, and I was serving in the church. I was working a secular job in downtown Greenville, and I was waiting to get engaged and get married. Mm-hmm. And then went to seminary. So my other degree, I went to Southeastern Seminary. And originally started in the MDiv program at Southeastern and actually did that program for 2 solid years and really felt the Lord calling me to kind of wrap up things in seminary. And so I shifted gears and changed my degree to get a Master of Arts in Christian Education. So really, I'm about two classes short of an MDiv, if you look at it that way. So that's the finality of my academic degrees.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I'm probably going to end up going to Southeastern, to be honest with you, just because it's close and because I know people like you who have gone. And so
it's solid. It's yeah. It's affordable. It's a good school.
Yeah. How long have you been serving as a pastor? And I know you've kind of already talked about that a little bit. And what roles have you had? And I know you've also talked about that a little bit, but could you kind of give us a little more detail?
Yeah. So when I came to First Baptist Kings Mountain, honestly, it was the first church that really gave me a face-to-face interview. And I guess God's just been super gracious to my wife, Erin, and myself. We ended up at a great place. This is a good church to serve. The pastor I serve under is top-notch, and the staff, brothers in Christ, just dear, dear friends serving the Lord together. First came as student pastor, and I look back, and I'm not sure I would have hired me with what I knew because I was still pretty inexperienced. Mm-hmm. I'd been a Christian about 6 years when I came here, and I didn't really have a lot of ministry experience, but this church had a history of hiring young guys out of seminary. And so I really kind of cut my teeth on ministry here, really learned what it was to do ministry. And so I was a student pastor from 1999. How old were you?
1999? I was born December of 98. So not
So you were still in diapers when I came here.
Yeah.
And then in February of 2014, I transitioned to the role of missions pastor. And that transition obviously bears a little story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's funny you actually say that because the next question is, when did you make the transition to missions pastor and what caused the transition? Most of the reason I'm asking this question is because when I tell people about our church and I go through our staff members and like there's Jeff, he's the missions pastor, I have to always explain like, yeah, we have a guy who has to control our missions program because it's not only is it that big, but it's like that's something that our senior pastor believes in. And so we actually carved out like a space for you to do that because we send a lot of people out. And so like, when did you make the transition and what kind of caused it?
So back about 2008, 2009, the Lord really, I think, reminded me that he called me, as I said earlier, to himself. The call to ministry and serve, I guess in the church capacity, you know, through your course of your whole life, God's gonna put you in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Your ministry is gonna look differently. I think sometimes we can pigeonhole it into a certain role, but I think God back in 08, 09 began to really kind of pull my roots up from student ministry and really began to put more of a pastoral call on my life back then. But two things particularly then that I was confident that God reminded me of was two things. Jeff, do you trust me and will you wait on me? And I wrestled with God because I told you I was a lifer. Student ministry for me, loved every second of it. Still would love student ministry. So for me, that was a hard processing for me. I wrestled with God really over that, but ultimately kind of came the point and I figured God knew better than I did. And so I said, God, I'll trust you and I'll wait on you. And so the course of the next really 4 to 5 years, patiently tried to wait on what the Lord was having for me. And so by 2013, I really sensed, even after looking at some different things in ministry, that God did know what he was talking about. And he really impressed upon me that my time here at First Baptist was not over yet. And though we really weren't desiring to leave our church, we wanted to be obedient. And in that transition, brothers on staff and our pastor, we really prayed through that. And what would it look like for me to stay in a different role here at our church? And up until that time, we didn't have a mission pastor full time, but we had a strong missions program. And it just made sense. The Lord really gave us a lot of wisdom that we could call another student pastor and I could transition into the role of full-time mission pastor.
That's pretty solid. Yeah, for those of you that are listening to this and you don't know either of us personally, or you know me personally, not Jeff, we go to First Baptist Church in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and our senior pastor is really, really big on sending people out. And so what we've done, definitely a lot longer than I've actually been a member here, I've not been here that long, is we funnel a lot of our church resources into being able to send people on mission trips almost completely for free, most oftentimes for free. So that way we give everybody the opportunity to serve the church who may not have the resources. And we also just provide a way to basically give you no reason to say, no, I won't go on mission. I'm trying to advance the kingdom. And so Jeff kind of took over the leadership role of that whole facet of our ministry as a church, as a matter of fact. So where all have you been on mission trips?
So I've had the privilege of going to Honduras. Actually went to Honduras back in 2004. We began to, I saw the vision of our church. I knew the value of students going on mission. Mm-hmm. And so back in 2004, and every 2 years, we were able to lead a group of juniors and seniors on, mm-hmm. on mission trips. And so I've been to Honduras, been to South Asia, been to Japan, been to Liberia, West Africa, been to Spain, was there a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And every year we partner in the city of Baltimore. We have a church planner that we work with in inner city Baltimore as well. So, and I do want to make clear too that our church is not so big that each of our roles are definitely so specific.
Oh yeah,
I do. Yeah. Each of us, and we do have a big church in our area. We're considered the big church, but church I was baptized in and grew up in college ministry was probably about 3,000 members. Mm-hmm. So our church really is not that big. But each of us here on staff, we have different things that we do in ministry. I also hear the church, as some of my other brothers on staff, we do hospital visitation. We do a lot of crossover ministry. We help out each other. I do work in audiovisual stuff. I'm the graphic designer. I work with our web development and video streaming. So we do a little bit of different things here. So my role is not just missions. It's missions, yeah. And title.
Yeah.
But yeah, we overlap into different, yeah, areas as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I tell people a lot when I talk about you guys, because it's, you've all got the niche that's like your thing, but yeah, then you all also, yeah, share a lot of the
team players.
A lot of the burden. Yeah. In your view, what is the value of missions for the church, Big C? In my view, I see missions as being more important to go from domestic to foreign, as in we try to go out and minister to those around us, and then try and create kind of an environment where we all want to go as a team to go out. Because I think growing up, I really saw, and I think this is the fruit of a really strong church, but sometimes it's kind of a bad thing, is when you're a part of a church that's really healthy and really has good leadership, I think everybody thinks they need to be a foreign missionary. Mm-hmm. I think everybody thinks, they go and do something really spiritually fulfilling and they think God's calling me to that. And I really don't think he is a lot of times. I really think God's calling us to be where our feet are, because this is corny and cliche, but your biggest mission field is everything that's right around you. And so missions for the church for me is, let's start here and work our way out, because there's plenty of organizations that exist outside the church. Exist outside the local church, I should say, that take care of foreign missions. Not that those aren't important, but I think there's a huge void domestically. What do you think is the value of missions for the church, and what do you think missions, like the vision, should be for the local church?
Wow, there's a lot there to unpack. I totally agree with you, but I think big picture, anytime a believer, you as a person, me as a person, when we live out the commands of Scripture, I think it's a deep, spiritual, powerful thing. And so I think even from just simple obedience all the way to obedience and big commands such as the Great Commission. So when Jesus, and you look at the end, Matthew 28, the end, the Great Commission, early Acts chapter 1, when we're called to be His witnesses and we're called to go make disciples, as we go from here to the ends of the earth, I think it's super impactful personally. So I totally agree with you. I think living out the Great Commission has value in the local church, and so for the people. But like you said, for me, can I just make clear, we have it on our bulletins at church, every person's a minister. And let me adjust that a little bit. I think every person is a missionary. I don't think it's like, oh, I need to pray about being on mission. I need to pray about being a witness. No, God's called every believer, every born-again believer, to be a minister. And my small group that I teach on Sunday mornings, and others probably tire of me saying this, but I say everywhere your feet take you is your mission field. Mm-hmm. And so I totally believe that, whether it's at work, the person that's in the cubicle next to you or in class or wherever your feet take you, that's your mission field. And I, like you, I have to dispel and try to bring people back from the misunderstanding that there's something more super spiritual about going overseas to do missions. I think it's just as spiritual and just as God called and fulfilling to be a missionary to your neighbor next door as it is to go across the globe. God's called us to do it, as you can see in early Acts, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. So it's not a location-based concept.
Yeah.
Missions is, it's you. It's wherever you are.
Yeah, right.
That's your mission field. And so I think there's great value in the local church to be living out the Great Commission. And we need to really challenge every person. All of us need to be living it out in our neighborhoods and also to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. Maybe I didn't say it exactly that way. You know, I think foreign missions are amazing. I mean, I got called to ministry on a foreign mission trip. But I think, too, exactly like you said, kind of the thing I always see that happens with foreign missions is I want to come home and tell everybody about it. But it's like, at the end of the day, they should be going with you, you know, and they should be going with you because they're doing it at home, you know. So, yeah, my view on missions has taken a different turn as I got into college, because you realize that, I mean, I would almost rather go share the gospel like in the middle of Sudan than try and share with kids on a college campus. It's like, I mean, it feels like being on another planet.
No doubt.
So what are some big takeaways you have from your experience so far in being the missions pastor and going on all these trips and leading all these teams and seeing all these different places?
Probably two thoughts that I think would be worthy of sharing. And the first, I really can't claim as my own, is I heard a wise missionary once say that our mission work today is being built upon a great historical foundation, that we're literally standing on the shoulders of giants. Today, missions in 2019, here we go closely into 2020, the last 200-300 years in world missions is unprecedented. And so we're standing upon a mission foundation that's incredible. So when I think one takeaway for me is my eyes have been opened globally at the work that's been done,
mm-hmm.
Not just in Southern Baptist, but across the globe from different denominations, that I'm, I don't know, standing on the shoulders of giants. I'm kind of in awe of that,
mm-hmm.
that many people long before me made greater sacrifices when they went overseas. The second thought is this, is that kind of God's really impressed this upon me that He is at work wherever I go. I don't have a monopoly on Jesus. I tell our mission teams, you know, we like to think that we're taking Jesus with us, but I like to remind them that Jesus is already at work in most of the places, in all the places that we go. And so kind of that concept is Henry Blackaby wrote one of the best biblical studies you could ever go through, Bible studies, is Experiencing God. And in that book, he challenged you, find where God's at work and join Him there. And so really the second thought is that everywhere I go in the mission field, God's working. And I just want to join Him where He's already working. And so I think it takes a little pressure off you. You know, when you go overseas, you want to be a bold witness for you, for the Lord. And being His witness is going to take you to places. To know that God is already working in this place is a powerful thing.
Yeah, quick plug. I'll tell you, there's a book I read for class about 2 months ago. I took a class on the history of Christianity. The book was titled The Unexpected Christian Century by a guy last name Sundquist. I forget what his first name is. And it was his book was detailing basically the rise of evangelical missions in the 20th century immediately following World War I, where no one would have thought, where Christianity was taking a backslide in the West because everybody was like, clearly, you know, Christ is not worth it if we just, you know, murdered hundreds of thousands of ourselves. Whereas everywhere else in the world, Christianity skyrocketed. And the book is amazing as it goes through the detailed progression of how, you know, Christianity goes down in Britain and it blasts through the roof in Vietnam. You know, it's pretty cool. I would highly suggest reading it.
I've got a book that's I haven't started yet. I can't even remember the title, but it's on my on my desk, and it really talks about that very thing. It's amazing that what you see is in secular Western culture, even in the Northern Hemisphere, you're seeing particularly in America and Europe, a decline in evangelical work in the gospel and mission field. But what you're seeing is in South and Central America, in Africa, and in Southeast Asia and South Equator, you're seeing the gospel blow up. Yeah. There's movements of God that are moving powerfully. It's interesting. We'll work that in the next podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, I like the plug there for the next podcast.
I'm already lining up to be invited back.
So what's the coolest place you've gotten to visit on mission?
That's tough because I've been fortunate to have seen a lot of neat places. The top two would probably be the first being the Imperial Palace in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Actually, we were there back in 2016 with the team. One of our former youth was serving on as a missionary there. And we were able to walk, prayer walk, and do some different things around the Imperial Palace. And standing at those huge, I mean like mm-hmm. 2 to 3 feet thick walls, and the gates outside the Imperial Palace to think the history, the things that took place there, just as a history guy, mm-hmm. that really was neat. Secondly, also history related, would probably be the spice market in Old Delhi, in Delhi, India. Spice market's probably been going on for well over 1,000 years. I think of when traders would set out for the West Indies.
Yeah, we always talk about spices in class. That's all we ever talk about. They're going for furs and spices.
It's crazy. You go to the spice market even today, and it's as far as you can see. You're crammed in with thousands of people walking, and your sense fill up with the aroma of every type of spice. That's and things solid. That are out there. And so that experience there, and right next to it is one of the oldest mosque in Delhi, and you can hear the calls to prayer. It's just it's a really unique place mm-hmm. To experience.
What do you think is the hardest hurdle to jump in missions for the church? Because I think probably the hardest hurdle to jump is to convince people that it's important. Because I mean, I think a lot of people want to go. I think with domestic missions, it's intimidating because you know everybody and it's America and you feel like you've got it all figured out. And then I think with foreign missions, you know, naturally, obviously the things that turn people away from foreign missions is I don't want to fly, or maybe that's a dangerous country we're going to, or I don't speak the language, or I get sick overseas, stuff like that.
You know, some people might say very specific things of what I think is the biggest hurdle. To me, I think is kind of what you said, as I think is each person acknowledging their role in missions, perhaps the biggest hurdle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get the blank deer in the headlights look with some people. The challenge to me is, particularly as a pastor and as just a brother or sister in Christ, is to try to sow into people the call and the confidence that, like I said earlier, we're all called to be on mission. And I agree with you, it's probably hardest to share with those that are closest. There's a lot of non-believers in my family, and it's a really hard mission field. It's hard to be bold and share with your neighbors and those closest to you. But I think if you take a step back, to me, the biggest hurdle in missions is every believer understanding and acknowledging their role in the Great Commission. It's not a pastor's role. It's not a missionary's role. It's every single person's role. And so the biggest hurdle is just to get over that fear and even maybe just the ignorance of not really buying into mm-hmm. that call.
Yeah. Are there any active things regular church members can do? And by regular church members, I mean people that are not either a pastor or a missionary, to be a part of the missions process, even without feeling like they have to go on the trip, whatever the trip may be?
I think every person can do something. We're just in the process of starting a foster and adoption support ministry here at our church. And not everyone's called to, in that regard, to foster or adopt, but we have this mantra, everybody can do something. And so I think we're all called to participate in the Great Commission. So I think every person can use the opportunities they have to be a witness for Christ. And so to me, wherever God puts you, that's your mission field. But practically, I think for your average person that's just a believer, part of a local church, pray first thing. You know, pray for the people that are going into places that are harder or that do require a little bit more sacrifice. When I say about time and money and maybe even people that are selling things and maybe traveling overseas to be missionaries, you can pray for them. Pray for the Lord's work outside the walls of the church. The big thing is that sometimes I think churches, we look inward so much. It's just to pray with a mission mindset. Pray personally for the Lord to show you the opportunities before you, every person. But also pray for those who are all in, those who are going, and you can pray. So I think everybody can pray. But I think everybody can support missions. Hopefully, you can have a voice that every local church should be about ministry and missions outside the walls of the church. So I think you can use your bully pulpit of sorts. Mm-hmm. You can use your influence, your voice to encourage you. If you're not on staff somewhere, if you're just a church member, and I say just a church member, if you are a church member, to encourage your leadership to really be on mission. And so I think really be supportive of missions. I think your financial giving, hopefully your church is financially giving to the Lord's work outside the walls of the church, so right. You can be faithful in giving. And then honestly, I think it's one of those things you can pray, give, and go. I say that a lot, and it's on a lot of our graphics, is you can pray, and you can give, and you can also go.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. Yeah, I agree with all of that. Honestly, that's pretty much the end of the podcast. In keeping with Caffeinated Christianity's theme of coffee and Christian rap music and unqualifiedness, your CHH song of the episode actually came out today, Legends Never Die by Joey Vontez. Joey Vontez had an EP come out today. It's called Legends Never Die. It's really, really good. The whole thing's really solid. Joey Vontez has he's got three Vontez projects. He's got a couple more albums besides that. He's got a pretty long career so far in Christian rap music, but it's like every project he comes out with gets better and better. So it's kind of like a neo soul, like kind of wavy. I don't really know what subgenre to call it necessarily. But Legends Never Die by Joey Vontez, that's the song and the EP. They're both super good. But I mean, I've listened to very few Christian rap songs and albums that I wouldn't endorse at least a little bit. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Jeff and I will be more than happy to come together and reimburse you for the brain cells. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Calf Christ. Jeff, you want to say anything?
Just an honor, man, to be here on this mic with you. Life goals right there. Bucket list, goodness. Check.
Jeff's coffee's not black, though, so he's lucky I let him on. So remember, John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners, and remember to grab coffee with your friends. Howdy.